We're doing a study on the contagious Christian, and we're glad you're here. Okay, we're on our sixth session on this, so we're just glad you're here with us tonight. And they're going to get you two books, so you'll kind of be able to follow us along. All right. Now, the reason that we had you do that again, or that they have us do this again in the teaching manual, is because theoretically we have just done this with an individual. And we brought it to a point now where you have this person, they've heard your story, and now what do you do next? You sense that you need to do more. Do you change the subject? Do you talk about something differently? What do you do? What's the next thing that you do? You ask them to come to church? You know, what do you do next? And this is why, one reason they had us to do this again. So, you should be now on page 74. Was it easier for anyone this time than it was the other times you did it? Was it? Good. That's good. I see most people doing this. Good. And the more often you do it, then the easier it will be. You should get to know it better. Did anybody get any feedback for improvement? Okay, everybody did great. Huh? Well, Josh is that good? Even head banging. What do you do? You okay? All right. Okay. We're going to talk now about crossing the line. Crossing the line. What do we do once we've brought the person, we've given our testimony, we sense that they want to go a little further, we don't know for sure what to do next, we don't know if we should pray with them, change the subject, or invite them to church. This session now is set up to take the next step. Again, there's nothing in the world that compares with leading somebody into the kingdom of God, and that's what this is all about. Okay, there's four steps that they want us to understand in crossing the line of faith, in helping somebody cross the line of faith. And these four steps are assess readiness, pray, celebrate their commitment, and take the next step. And what we want to do now is look through each one of these. Assessing readiness. Have you come to the point of trusting Christ? You want to ask the person or somehow find out where the person at is in their venture, in their coming to the point, place of coming to a position in their life where they're ready to trust Christ. Have you come to the place where you're ready to trust Christ? Now, what if they say no? What do? You hit them? You get mad at them?
Are you crazy?
What you have to do. Okay, Jason, can I use you? Okay. Because, yeah, I wanted to make sure it was okay before I did. All right. Jason, Christy wanted to come to church. She wanted to be here. The Lord had her under conviction. There was a prophecy given that she would be here by this Mother's Day, and the Lord was really working in her life. And so she was coming. And one Sunday she was in here and she was just crying. I mean, she just sat over there and just cried the whole service. And I'm sitting there, I'm wondering if I was messing up, you know. What have I done? What have I said this? So I asked her, I said, do we need to talk? And she said, yes. And so her mother and I and Christy went back into my conference room, and we sat back there and talked. And while we were in our conversation, Jason walks in. Now, Jason wasn't at church that Sunday. I think he'd come through the parking lot a couple of times, but you didn't come in. And I didn't know if he was mad at me or mad at us or what, but I had told Christy, I told her, she wanted Jason in church, and I just told her, I said, Jason, we just got to trust the Spirit. I said, you continue with your commitment, and we're just going to believe together that God's going to minister to Jason and pull him in. Well, Jason came in, and we had a little talk, and then he said, "I don't know what to do." And I said, "Don't worry about it. Let the Lord minister to you. You'll know what to do when the time comes." And so if an individual expresses to you that they're not ready, say, "Fine, fine. We'll just trust the Lord, and you'll know when you're ready." And of course, how long? 3 weeks later? Something like that. The guy's down here crying, ready to come into the kingdom. See? And he hasn't slowed down. In fact, he's speeded up since. Since he's got on track, man, he's a locomotive going right now. So that's what you do. Are you ready to trust? And if they're not, say, "Fine, fine. Well, we're just going to trust the Lord. Any questions you have, you know, don't feel embarrassed to ask me. I really want to help you. I really want to." The second thing, you need to find out, where would you say you are right now in that process? Now, of course, remember last time when we did the crossing over the bridge? Remember that? And that is a perfect place. Where do you think you are? Are you right on the edge? Are you way back here? Are you ready to tell me to just leave you alone? Where do you feel like you are? And you will be absolutely amazed at how many people will say, "Well, I don't think I'm way back here, you know, and maybe I am right here." You'll be amazed at if somebody was to say that to you, "Well, I think I'm ready." What would you do? So you're ready here now. So you've asked them, "Where are you right now?" The bridge illustration. All right. If they're still thinking about it, you got two ifs here I want to point out. If they are still thinking about it, it would then need, if they're still thinking, if they're saying, "I'm thinking about it," what we need to maybe do then is slow down a little bit. Let the Spirit move a little bit in their life. But what if they say, "I'm on the edge and I'm ready to come in"? Now you got to know what to do next. So is there any reason you would not want to ask God for His forgiveness and leadership right now? Now, let me say this. If a person has come to this point, if they are allowing you access into their spirit, and this is where you're at now, if they've allowed you access into their spirit, please recognize and realize that there is a tremendous warfare going on in this person. The enemy is warring. Their mind is warring. There's a warfare going on. And you just ask them, "Is there any reason? Is there any reason?" I was talking to Jason today, and he told me that at that time, when all that was going on, he knew this warfare was happening. He didn't know it was warfare then. He was just something was fighting with him, and he didn't know exactly what it was. But he says, "I don't know why I wouldn't just come on and do it." You know what you said? Something like that. "I don't know what kept me from doing it." And this is what it is spiritual warfare. If they were to tell you what was really happening, they were hearing something whispering in their ear, "Don't do it, don't do it. Wait another week, wait another week." Because if you wait enough weeks, you won't do it. And so they're in a tremendous warfare at this point in the relationship. Realize somebody's about to come into eternal life. It's a very, very powerful moment. All right. Next, pray. After you've brought them to this place, now they say, "Well, I'm ready to cross over," or they're ready to come into the kingdom of God. Please don't say, "Okay, let's go to church Sunday." The enemy's going to come up with 1,000 reasons why they shouldn't be here Sunday. We need to seize the opportunity at the moment. We need to be able to pray with them right then. Now, I want to make sure that you know what I'm talking about when I'm saying pray. Because I'm not saying you're going to lead them in a prayer. What I want you to learn to do is teach them how to pray to the Lord themselves. Now, I've led people to the Lord in both ways. But the way that I'm going to show you here is far superior. I've had the people pray the prayer after me. "Dear Lord Jesus, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. I come to you as a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me." Well, the person's not talking to the Lord or thinking about responding to the Lord. The person's listening to me. They're more intent on saying it right, getting the words right, saying what I'm saying, than they are in communicating with the Lord. Are you with me? When I'm saying pray, you're going to help the person pray. You're just going to encourage the person to pray themselves, for them to pray to the Lord themselves. So what you want to do is you pray together with you guiding the prayer by prompting them. And then prompt them to ask for God's forgiveness. And when I pray with someone, I'll say, I want you to pray. I want you to pray to the Lord, and I want you to say whatever that you need to say to Him. Now, I've shared with you this principle several times on the certain lawyer that came to Jesus and said, Jesus asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what did Jesus respond to him? Now, what was the question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Did Jesus say, pray this prayer after me? What did Jesus say to him? This is, how does it read to you? What do you feel like you need to do? What do you need to say? How do you need to respond to the Lord? But everybody, pretty much everybody that I've ever asked this to, you pray, you say to the Lord whatever that you feel like you need to say to them. One of the first things they always say is, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Those two young men this morning, first thing they said, both of them, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And this is what they want to say. And they're praying to the Lord. They're not listening intently on what I'm saying to get my words right. They're communicating. And when they leave the altar, when they leave me, they're still able to pray. They're able to pray to the Lord themselves. I have done my part. You see what I'm saying? Right, let me do it another way. In the Catholic Church, in Roman Catholic Church, you have to come to the priest and confess your sins, right? You go to the Father and you confess to him, and then he makes it clear. In contemporary, the way we've always done it is pray a prayer after me. You're acting that same role out. You're doing the Catholic priest thing. Do you see what I'm saying? They're coming through you to get to him. That's not correct. They need to be encouraged themselves to develop a relationship with the Lord. So this is what this is about. Prompt them to ask for God's forgiveness. And then ask for God's leadership. Those two young men this morning, prayed with them. The first thing they said was, Father, you know, Lord God, I think one of them said God, one of them said Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And then I told both of them, I said, now I want you to ask the Lord to lead you by His Spirit to come into your life and lead you. Leadership. Ask the Spirit to lead you and guide you. And both of them did. Lord, I want you to lead me. One of them even said, I want an abundant life. Come on now. Yes. Isn't that great? You know, I want an abundant life. See, to them, it's already clicked. Listen, it's not just going to heaven when I die. That's wonderful, is it not? I mean, hey. But it's not relevant right now. Give me an abundant life. Yes. Hallelujah. Ask for God's leadership. Through His Spirit, lead me, guide me, lead me down the paths of righteousness. Help me to have a successful life. And then, give thanks. Give thanks. Now, don't jump up and start hollering. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about, now thank the Lord for forgiving you. There's a difference. Hear what I'm saying? Once we brought them to this point, now we have them in a place wondering, has God forgiven me of my sins? Now has He? If you ask Him to forgive you, has He forgiven you? Yes. He's faithful and just and forgives us of all unrighteousness. Not just what we've asked Him to forgive us from, but from all unrighteousness. Now what we do is thank Him for that forgiveness. We thank the Lord for forgiving him or her. And we encourage them. Say, tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and receiving me into the kingdom of God. Now what does that do? You have developed now... You brought an individual into the kingdom of God. They have been brought to a place where they have developed a relationship with the Lord. They're praying themselves to the Lord, something they may have never done. They're praying themselves to the Lord, and they've already begun to understand that He's already forgiven them. God already answered the prayer that they just prayed. Now that is bringing somebody in. When you can show them all that in just a few moments, that God so loves you that He's already forgiven you simply because you asked Him to. When they leave you, when they go out, they have a relationship with the Lord. He's forgiven them. Okay. Is that all right? Then, we're going to celebrate their commitment. Not everybody is going to react the same way. Not everybody's going to react the same way. You're on page 75. Some people will cry. Some people will just weep and cry. Some people will just kind of stand there and say, well, what do I do next? Others will be ecstatic and just have a lot of joy. Some people will grab you and give you a big old hug. You know, everybody responds in different ways. And because they didn't respond the way you responded doesn't mean they got what you got, didn't get what you got. Everybody's going to respond differently. But what does matter is that they took that step. Now, you're saved by grace through faith. They have exercised that faith. And if that's the truth, if we're saved by grace through faith, then this person now has exercised faith in God, and this person is now saved. Am I right? And what you've done is activated that faith. Now, some people, because they didn't feel something, because something didn't tingle inside, or whatever they thought would happen didn't happen, they may begin to doubt what had just happened, that it did happen. So, it tells us here, encourages them to look for you to share with them from Luke chapter 15, verse 10, where it says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, this person has just repented. So what has heaven just done, or what is heaven doing at that moment? Is that exciting? And you were able to share that with them. At that moment, you're able to tell them, listen, here's what the Bible says. You know, if you have a Bible, open it up and say, look, here's what it says. Here's what just happened. If you repented, heaven is rejoicing. Don't doubt it. Just receive it. Is that good? Take the next step. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I did that one. Take the next step. We need to encourage them or help them get involved with other Christians. It's called fellowship. I'm looking at people that realize and recognize the importance of fellowship. Our church is built on fellowship. It's one of its primary pillars. We are a fellowshipping church. We love to be together. We love to get together. And because we do love to be together and get together, our faith is strong. And if you'll notice, the people that don't fellowship a lot are weak Christians. They're weak. A little trouble comes along, a little turmoil comes along, they shake. You become strong when you have somebody you can lean on. Somebody that can help hold you up around fellowship. So the first thing that any believer needs to do is get around people and where they can have fellowship. Get involved with other Christians. Go to church and worship. Is that important? Sure. Develop Christian friendships. Become involved in church. And then I think a great thing that we have is our life groups. Don't you? I think our life groups are very, very important in this point. When we get people into the life groups, when they lock into a life group, they have really begun to take the steps of growth in Christianity. Okay? Encourage them to pray. How important is that believers talk to Jesus, talk to the Holy Spirit, talk to the Father? To have a relationship with somebody, you're going to talk to them. That's not profound there. And to have a relationship with the Lord, we're going to pray. Talking to God is called prayer. You're going to talk to the Lord. You're going to talk to Father, encourage them. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Lord Jesus. Talk to the Holy Spirit. First thing, pray. Pray on a daily basis. Praying involves worshiping God, thanking God, and asking God questions about life. Will He answer them? And then, as Matt just said, prayer also involves listening. I have a lion temperament, and my temperament likes to talk. And it's difficult to listen. So even as I pray, I catch myself just talking to God. And I have to cause myself to stop and just listen to the Lord. And every time I listen, guess what happens? I hear something. Isn't that good? Next. Encourage your friend to read the Bible. Read the Bible. Is that important? Now, some people will tell you, well, they just need to read the New Testament. I need to read the four Gospels, something like that. Now, I don't know. I guess it's an individual preference. Maybe reading one of the Gospels initially, but I like to get them into Genesis quick. Maybe it's just because it's what I did. I like Genesis simply because of all those old Bible stories that I've always heard about. There they are. Of course, if they're reading the New Testament, they're reading about Jesus and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's important as well. But I really encourage people to either get into a New Testament book, one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I prefer John. Or either get into the book of Genesis. Main thing is get them reading the Bible. Also, I think a good thought is buy them a Bible. And for goodness sakes, don't let them have anything but the King James. Honestly, it's up to the individual. In some places, that's what they're told, that they can't have anything but a King James. I think they're all good. I believe they're all good. Get one that will just minister to them. That's the point I'm trying to make. Relate to non-believers. Finally, encourage them on how to relate to non-believers. Who has the most input to a non-believer? An individual who's been a Christian all their life, or an individual who has just become a Christian? Their whole circle, everybody they know, guess what? Are non-believers. And they have a tremendous input. They have something because these people are their friends. They recognize their life. They know their life. And they'll be able to observe what's happened and what transpires in their life. And if there is a transformation, there will be a tremendous impact on that whole circle. Every time an individual comes in here and gets salvation, receives salvation, and locks into this body, they're going to bring 2, 3, 4 more people at least. Every time. The kingdom always grows. When we bring one in, there's always a domino. And it usually happens within the first year of their salvation. They have the greatest impact in that first year. It was Steve Allman that was talking about when he was here, returning to your first love, and he was talking about how when he first got saved, he didn't know anything, but he was always talking to people about Jesus. And then when he learned something, he stopped talking to them. Isn't it the truth? See, they're so excited. The new convert is so excited about what's just happened to them. They want to tell everybody. Everybody. So instruct them. Encourage them even on how to relate to them. Now, how many knows that they need to be cautious and not go where they used to go and do some things they used to do with those folks? Come on. But at the same time, they have a tremendous impact on the non-believers. Another thing that you need to do with them is begin to make arrangements for water baptism. That is a public confession of their faith. That is a sealing, the Bible says. We're sealed in those waters. There is a circumcision of the heart that takes place. We need to get them water baptized as quickly as possible. I don't like waiting a long time after somebody comes to the Lord to get them water baptized. Next Sunday we're having water baptism. Don't you think that's good? I mean, man, we fill that thing up and empty it, fill it up and empty it, fill it up and empty it. Just every week if we needed to. But we need to do that. So that's another thing. Help them begin to make arrangements. But whatever that we do, don't abandon the baby. Okay, we got a baby Christian, a newborn. Now you need to make some, help this individual do some things. You need to parent the baby, disciple the baby yourself, or make arrangements for the baby to be discipled. But whatever that we do, don't abandon the baby. Get them a Bible. Get them some work stuff. Get them in church. Do all you can do, all you can possibly do to cause this new life in Jesus Christ to grow and to become what it needs to be. But whatever we do, we can't abandon the baby. All right? Now, we're going to watch a video. This particular part of the video, of all the videos, was to me the most touching. I actually cried as I saw this. And so allow it just to minister to you. It's an individual coming into the kingdom of God. They did a good job, didn't they? What do you think? What do you think? Hey, look at your faces and tell what you think. There's nothing. I mean, imagine what happens in heaven. You know. So. Okay. This is why I chose this teaching. It's just real. It's just the way it should be done. Okay, I want you to partner up. With someone that you were just with, with the person you were just with, on page 77 of your guide. Let's read this. Using page 77 as a guide, practice leading your partner across the line, as though your partner were the number one person on your impact list. Briefly tell your partner the first name of your friend, the nature of your relationship, neighbor, coworker, relative, etc. This is so they can interact with you as your friend might interact. After the first person has practiced leading the other across the line, the listener should provide verbal feedback on what worked well and what areas could be improved. Use the checklist on page 77 in your participant's guide to guide you when giving feedback. Trade places. Repeat steps 1 and 2. We have 5 minutes for each person to practice crossing the line and to receive verbal feedback. I'll let you know when to switch. Any questions? Are we still crying? I have been impressed with the quality of the video and the quality of the acting. You know, and, it's been extremely powerful and good quality stuff that they've done for us. Okay, you ready? Now listen, this is we've done everything. This is the sixth week. All the weeks have come to this place. And this is where we come to when we balk. And we've got a person to the place where they're ready. And we want to wait until Sunday to bring them to church. And most of the times they've changed their mind by Sunday. This is the crucial point. Spirit has moved, he's done his part. And now it's time for us to do ours. Okay? Pair up with your buddy, and let's do it. Did it go well? Okay. A couple of points that I just want to tell you. Excuse me? A couple of points that I went through it with Randy, and initiating it from this position is a little bit difficult. It's you just find out where they're at in the process. Where are they as far as the Lord's drawing them into the kingdom? Are they on the edge? And then asking the question, is there anything that would stop you from crossing over right now? All right, now, you know, that's, to me, that's a little different than asking them if they can pray with me. I mean, at that point, they're kind of expecting you to ask if they can, if you can pray with them, or maybe they are, but they're not expecting that question. Now that question, the reason I'm pointing this out is because if they've got to now determine, are they going to allow something to stop them from coming in? What is the question? Is there anything that would stop you from crossing over right now? They've got to now determine if they're going to let this stop them from their crossing over, or if they're going to get across that thing. And of course, if they say no, there's nothing that can stop me, well then say, well, I'd like to pray with you right now. If you'll just let me pray with you. Okay. Now that was a little awkward to me as Ray and I was walking through it. I don't know how you all were. Did you all find it a little difficult starting it, just kind of getting into it from that position? And then that was the other help. Okay. Now, next week what I want to do is I want to come in and I want to try to finish it. Okay. I want to knock out, the last session is kind of an overview. And I want to come in. We may go like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe extra. But I want to come next week and I want to try to finish it up. I'll do it as quickly as we can. But I'd like to get done next week because after that's Easter. And then we want to be finished. Is that all right? Is that all right? Any comments? How do you like that? Bonnie was just telling me that she can actually see herself sitting at a table with some of her buddies doing that. You know, and she hasn't ever been able to see herself doing kind of this before. But now she can actually see herself helping somebody come into the kingdom of God through this process. Isn't that good? How many of you would agree with that? That you can see yourselves maybe doing something like this. It's good. Very good. Let's stand. Thank you for coming and being here. The overview is just what we've done. We've practiced telling our personal stories. We've identified the steps in leading someone across the line. We've practiced praying with someone. Thank you for being here. So glad you're here. We want to just as soon as we can initiate this stuff and lead someone into the kingdom of God. Let's pray.